top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
This is not going to make me feel better, I don't think.
No.
Number five.
All right. Here's the president making history today. Even though United States intelligence officials have direct evidence of Russia meddling in the election, the president thinks that Vladimir Putin has an interesting offer.
I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer.
What?
Okay. So, I want to put this in Chicago terms.
Okay.
Okay.
That, I think that would be helpful.
This is like Donald.
Seems ridiculous.
This is like Donald Trump saying to the mob that the capo of the mob, that the Tony Accardo, let's say, in his heyday, Tony Accardo has personally invited the FBI over to his house to watch him torture a guy that they think might have done something bad. That's kind of what the idea is. This is an incredible offer. We get to go there. Mueller gets to go there and watch them interview a guy. What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know.
I mean, all right. I always wonder, like, what the people in my family who love Donald Trump would think about this. But I don't want to call them and ask them, because then I would have to talk to them.
Oh, and you know what they would think. Everything he says is great.
But how could that be a good idea? That there's no, under any other circumstance, they would, it's like Donald Trump is like heroin. Under no other circumstance would you ever think that it was a good idea to sleep in the subway with a rat as your pillow, other than the fact that you're on heroin.
Well,
and you're like, this is a good idea.
Not only was he suggesting that Mueller investigators should be present while his own officers would interview the people, which sounds like a disaster, but he also was asking for, there's a caveat, he wants America to reciprocate.
Right.
So there was that other piece of it that Putin's going to try to get something for this charade of having his guys present.
Give up an American who's originally from Chicago that Putin says gave Hillary Clinton $400 million. If he gave Hillary Clinton $400 million, she wouldn't be wandering around the countryside of Connecticut trying to figure out what her name is anymore.
He wants that guy,
right?
Because he's heavily involved in campaigning and outing what the Russians have done, and that led to sanctions that we've discussed on this program.
Right. He wants to get a guy who narked on Russian oligarchs in the United States, two Russian officials, who have decided to sequester the money of those officials because they believe what this guy had to say, our own officials. So do you believe us or do you believe them?
Right.
That's the question. And why is it? What is his game? What does he get out of this? He can be tough. He's tough with everybody else. Tough with all the people that we're supposed to be friendly with. Why can't he be tough to the guys we're not supposed to be friendly with or that we're not friendly with? Guys who actually attacked our institutions here. Why? Why? Guys who are here stealing. Why can't you be tough with them? What's going on? Why? Hold on, there's more. Thank you for asking. So Trump responded to questions about Putin's involvement, citing his often repeated verse about lack of collusion.
Just to say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with. There was no collusion with the campaign. And every time you hear all of these, you know, 12 and 14, it's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit these are not people involved in the campaign.
Huh? Word salad.
Well, he's saying it's separate from the collusion. There's no connectivity between these 12 individuals that
Rosenstein
announced on Friday and his own campaign.
The Magnitsky Act, which is the centerpiece of this. What Putin did say there is interesting, because what Putin is saying is, hey, we want this guy that narked on all of our oligarchs. You send him back to, we'll take him.
Yeah, right.
Essentially. And the fascinating piece of that is that was the centerpiece of the conversation that Donald Trump Jr. and that Jared and that Manafort and all those guys that were involved in that meeting in Trump Tower in 2016 were a part of. And it's interesting to me that that Putin would bring that up today.
That's right. You wonder if it was part of their face-to-face, closed-door meeting involving just the two of them.
A little bit of a brushback pitch, too. That ultimately may be the only thing that Trump has to fear here. Maybe Trump, I mean, you know Trump's fearful of something, so maybe that's it. Maybe it's he doesn't believe that there was collusion, he knows he didn't talk to anybody, maybe there's other people that he believes didn't talk to anybody, but he does know that meeting took place. And he doesn't know what was actually said in that meeting, and he doesn't know, because he wasn't in it.
There was a recording of that meeting.
Right. And how jammed up could his son or son-in-law be? And maybe that's why he's being so kind and soft when it comes to Vladimir Putin, because it would jam up his family.
Entertaining that issue.
Right. Maybe it's as simple as that meeting. But there's something here. All right. And one more here, I think. All right. So the president then went on to assert that there isn't any reason to think Russia was involved. He doesn't see any reason why Russia would be involved in the hacking.
All I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be.
Yeah.
Except what you said in the first part of the sentence, which was, your director of national intelligence and all of the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, they all say he was.
And Dan Coats reissued, the director of national intelligence, reissued that a statement to that effect today, saying, yes, we have clear evidence of Russian meddling in the election and their ongoing pervasive efforts to undermine our democracy. Just as a reminder.
Just a something. It's just a little something to think about.
Put that out there.
Well, at least they had fun with a soccer ball.
We hope we do as good a job. That's very nice. That will go to my son, Barron. We have no question. In fact, Melania, here you go.
So Putin handed him a soccer ball. And then,
right, because the World Cup wrapped up in Russia, soon is going to be in America, United States.
Two away. It goes to Doha, Canada. Qatar, and then U.S., Mexico, and Canada. If the U.S. still exists.
What is it, 2024?
Here, Melania, 26. 26. Take this. 26. Yeah. I'm not going to see the kid, so
right.
Give it to him.
Right, Barron is gonna love this soccer ball. He's going to be a big part of the U.S., if there still is a U.S. in 2026.
Would have been worse if he asked Putin to sign it. We just signed this for my kid.
Right. And then he tosses it over to his wife. I would have liked to have seen him do it like, when they're really playing soccer. You know how they get the ball on the sideline and then they throw it over their head?
Oh.
They kind of do that thing. They grab it up real fast. They drag one foot behind and they go.
And then Melania headbutts it back into his face.
Right, exactly.
Or into Putin's face. Could have been, yeah.
I don't think so. I think she knows where her next bread is buttered here. And it's either going to be living with the Macrons or the Putins.
The Obamas might take her.
That's true, too. Anybody take me. Although she'd be a refugee and they have to throw her out of the country. All right, are you ready for number?
We're ready.
Number four.
A new protest is scheduled for this evening to demand justice for the 37-year-old man who was shot by police on the South Shore neighborhood over the weekend. That's after, however, the Chicago Police Department has made the unprecedented move to release the body camera video of the incident within 48 hours of it occurring. And the body camera shows exactly what happened. This is not a disputable case anymore. This guy had a gun. He clearly had a gun. He was reaching for it. He tussled with police, tried to run away from him, turn around back toward him, and reach for his gun when they shot him. Eddie Johnson held a news conference earlier today and said this.
What I would say to those people is calm down. I know everybody is emotionally heightened. I get that. But at the same time, we have a process in place. And if we have to hold individuals accountable, we will. But we have to do it and respect the process. Let the process play out and don't judge things on your emotion. Let the facts guide your decision on what you think.
Not often that we see the body cam video this quickly after an incident like that. Eddie Johnson also said that he did not have a concealed carry permit Even though there's some reports out there that said he did have the right to have a firearm. I'm not sure those are confirmed yet.
Yes, he had a FOID card, but not a concealed carry.
Got it. So he had it out on him in public.
Right, which you can't do. In Illinois, you have to have a concealed carry permit to be able to CCL. You have to have that to walk around with the gun. You can have the weapon in your home if you have a FOID card, or you can have it in your vehicle if it's disabled. But that's it. You know, you can't have a loaded gun in your car unless you have a CCL. I mean, it's a whole there are rules here, but this is not even what it's about. But the guy clearly had a holster. He had and he reached for it with the police trying to stop him. Which is, now, if I did that, if anybody standing with police officers, they stop you. Mm-hmm. They want to see. They were asking him for his concealed carry license. He did not have one. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they will know very quickly as soon as they know his identity. They will be told by the dispatcher whether he has a concealed carry license. If you get pulled over in this town, your driver's license it will tell, or your license plate on your car will say the driver is a registered concealed carry holder.
That's right. And these were officers on foot patrol. The community has asked for more foot patrols in this area, and they had word that he may be carrying a gun, so they stopped him to talk to him about that gun.
All right. On to less consequential things. Unless you are a very Cavallari fan, this might be very consequential in your 3-year, two and your one. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Licking the hand of a Russian tyrant.
Is there a dog? Is there a dog? You know, Putin, did you know that that's one of Putin's tricks? Is he brings his dogs into the meetings with him?
For
protection?
Like a cute,
cuddly dog?
No. They're like labs, but they're like labs on steroids, like snarling labs.
Same stuff they give their athletes.
I thought it was right. Dobermans.
Yeah, then he comes in and he's done this before. Like he finds out people have like an aversion to dogs, and they come into the meeting with him.
He's so strategic. He was an hour late too.
Right, he was an hour late. You know why he was an hour late?
Well, I would think that's on purpose.
He always is.
He's an hour late because it got the meeting into the prime time talk block
in Russia
on Russian television.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. So the whole thing could be covered in prime time in Russia. Pretty smart.
Yep. Always thinking, that guy.
Maybe I should have held it till 3 o'clock in the morning. Nice job. Nice job, President Trump.
Number three.
Rookies around the NFL are unpacking their various spring training camps. Jay Cutler is packing up his wife's office for the big move into her new office on the second installment of Very Cavallari.
Uh-oh. This is engaging.
We got some insight into how Cuddy and K-Cav push each other's buttons.
What are you going to do?
Buy a house today.
That's cool. For yourself?
Kind of all the family members here.
I'm not moving.
No, I think we need to consider this in all seriousness.
Jay and I love to push each other's buttons. We definitely have this playful banter, and he can be a little shit sometimes, but he makes me laugh.
Oh, they're so cute.
Let's just call it 50-50.
It's definitely not 50-50. I'll think about it.
It might be, though.
Okay, bye.
All right, 50-50.
Bye.
We'll flip a coin later.
No.
I lost that battle.
But the house is on the market. It's already been in the real estate, like the celebrity pages.
Well, they shot this thing.
Obviously he won.
This show, by the way, I think I got to start recording them because I just want to see what Cutler has to say, but I have to sit through all like the fake reality stuff. Like some boyfriend's crying about his girlfriend flirting with some guy. I'm like, when's Jay coming on the TV? It's pretty, it's something for sure.
You have to, sorry, you liking it or not liking it?
I like the Cutler aspect of it, but I sat through the entire hour-long episode last night.
You'd like it recut for ESPN with just Jay Cutler.
Yes.
The highlight reel?
Yeah.
Because you have to sit through Kristen Cavallari's friends' drama, whether it's real or fake or whatever.
I can't tell if this is for football fans or if this is for young adult women.
I like Stephen A. to have a telestrator.
Yeah, can you imagine?
And kind of doing that.
He's got a
now,
win.
Here you see Jay Cutler proposing the sale of his own home. Now, his wife has not discussed this with him. This is not going to end well. How would this end well?
That's what you do, by the way. You wait for the cameras to roll before you go, hey, I'm buying a new house.
But, like, seeing Cutler interact with them, it almost feels like he's trolling everyone because he knows how dumb the whole thing is.
Yes, well, it is. We're moving on.
Number two.
Sacha Baron Cohen's new Showtime show, Who is America, premiered last night in a bit featuring Kindergartians, a fictional program to get guns into the hands of kids under the age of 7.
Oh, gee.
And it's spearheaded by Sacha Baron Cohen's Israeli anti-terror expert character, Colonel Aaron Murad. Among others who brought on the program were Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh.
The intensive three-week kindergarten course introduces specially selected children from 12 to 4 years old to pistols, rifles, semi-automatics, and a rudimentary knowledge of mortars. In less than a month, a first grader can become a first grenader.
Oh, gee. Do you think that anyone took
that
seriously?
So he got Joe Walsh to do the story? Is that what that is? Like, to, or to go along with it?
Joe Walsh, the congressman?
Yeah. So he asked him to read this stuff off teleprompter, like as a promotional announcement. Great American Joe Walsh tells Israeli children, 4 year olds, to be able to first grenaders as opposed to first graders, and they went along with it. Oh my God, that's brilliant! Here's Larry Pratt of the Gun Owners of America.
The science behind this program is proven. At age 4, a child processes images 80% faster than an adult, meaning that essentially, like owls, they can see in slow motion. Children under 5 also have elevated levels of the pheromone Blink-182, produced by the part of the liver known as the Rita Ara. This allows nerve reflexes to travel along the Cardi B neural pathway to the Wiz Khalifa 40% faster, saving time and saving lives.
Oh, gee.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
Number of people he's duped. I mean, he got Sarah Palin, Bernie Sanders. I mean, the list goes on and on.
How former dumb are... These are the people that are, you know, leading us again in the media, and they're trying to tell us exactly how to live our lives. How dumb are these people? All right, we got to move along, because A.B. Stoddard is going to tell us how to lead our lives here in a second.
Number one.
Tributes continue to pour in from around the NHL for former Blackhawks goalie Ray Emery, who drowned over the weekend at the age of 35. He was a member of the 2013 Stanley Cup Championship team, going 17-1 in relief of Corey Crawford, including 45-save effort against the Calgary Flames.
Cervenka, he's ready. Standing at center ice, picks up the puck at center ice. Wheels in over the Hawk line. Cervenka to the right wing circle, then to the slot, shoots. Emery knocks it wide with a glove.
Oh, my
Hawks
goodness.
Win! Hawks win! The Blackhawks win their first game on this six-game road trip. And Ray Emery, the unquestioned star of this game, stood tall when he had to, knocked that last shootout volley away to preserve the win for the Hawks.
Ray Emery was 35.